Thank you. We're joined as usual by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, Rhode Island.
And University of Rhode Island political science professor Maureen Moakley. Good morning, Maureen.
Good morning, everyone.
We're pleased to welcome as our special guest political consultant Kara Cromwell, who's worked for politicians as disparate as Bruce Sundlin and John Laughlin. And in keeping with our one square mile focus this week, we should also note she's a proud native of Bristol. Thanks for joining us, Kara.
Thanks so much for having me.
The State Ethics Commission has ruled that the revolving door law doesn't apply to administration director Richard Leach and that he can apply to become a superior court judge without spending a year outside of government. Maureen, does this hold water that this revolving door law doesn't apply to Leach?
I think it does. I think Rothschild said the law is fairly clear in
Rothschild, the chairman of the Ethics Commission.
Correct. That the law is pretty specific on this. I think the underlying logic was that the real issue with revolving door always had to do with legislators. Because legislators control the budget, they frame out the courts, and they ultimately approve the judges. So that was the circle that they were concerned about. Richard is something of an exception because most of the department heads, they're not lawyers. So they're not really in this mix now that there's a Richard, and there's also a couple of other lawyers. It may be the case they want to look at the law again, but as it stands now, that's how it was designed.
Well, let's get Kara Cromwell in here. Kara, as we know, the state made some changes in the 90s to try and depoliticize the selection of judges. How do you think that's working out?
Well, I think it's working as well as it can. Most states have a similar system to Rhode Island in that they do some kind of judicial selection process, but ultimately they're people who are political who are selected. I think the issue has more been recently in Rhode Island. Common Cause has, for example, been upset because the governor, when he makes his choices, doesn't follow the 21-day rule. They're supposed to choose from the judicial selection list within 21 days, and often they go back to older lists. That's really been the issue in Rhode Island recently.
Scott, as we know, Richard Leach is a former legislator. Does this look to you like a done deal that he's on track to become a Superior Court judge?
Yes, obviously. Look, there's precedent for this. Under Governor Carcieri, we know that Brian Stern, his chief of staff, got the exact same exemption as Leach. Leach is probably qualified. Look, he's had a long career in politics. He's a graduate of Harvard Law School, well-known lawyer in the state. There is a problem here, though, and I don't know how you fix it. The problem is a lot of good lawyers out there who might make good judges see these kind of insider appointments being made, and they don't even bother to apply.
That's true, though, in most states.
It is a political system. Let's face it. A state judge is a lawyer who knows a governor, or in this case, a lawyer who knows the Senate president and the governor. And, of course, federal judge is a lawyer who knows a senator.
Frank Caprio formally announced his campaign for treasurer this week. He says he'd fight for lower fees on state pension fund investments and use some of that money to restore cost of living adjustments for pension recipients. Does this make sense to you, Scott?
Well, of course, we're going to have a long, long debate about pensions because there are so many stakeholders in this. On one side, the unionized public employees, and then, of course, the taxpayers. So I think we're going to have a long discussion of this. I think it's a difference in philosophy. What worries me more, frankly, as a voter, about Raimondo's pension philosophy is the insider dealing. I don't think it's great that Point Judith Capital, her former firm, gets $5 million to manage.
Kara, we know that Rhode Island had this big pension overhaul in 2011. Is what Caprio's proposing to you, does that signal more of a chipping away of what the state did only 2 years ago?
Well, I think from a political strategy perspective, it's more about people in glass houses shouldn't throw stones. I mean, he certainly had time and opportunity to do something about the pension system and all of the other duties in the office. And I think what he's done is left himself open to criticism for what his record already has been as treasurer.
And Maureen, we see that David Caprio, Frank Caprio's brother, was formally elected last week as the new state Democratic chairman. Let's get your reaction to Frank Caprio's pension ideas and David Caprio's election as Democratic chairman.
Well, I have a different take. I think Frank Caprio handled this as best he could in the so far as he said he wasn't directly critical of her. What we're talking about is a distribution of stocks, equities, and, hedge funds. And he's debating it on the margin. So I think he handled that pretty well. As far as David Caprio is concerned, it's going to be very interesting to see how this interaction plays out since Frank Caprio is going to run as a Democrat. The Caprios are a long-established family, and I have every expectation that they will be back on the scene big time over the next few years.
Democratic State Representative Lisa Baldelli Hunt won an overwhelming victory in Woonsocket's mayoral primary on Tuesday, followed by the city's current mayor, Republican Leo Fontaine. The two will square off during a final general election next month. Kara, how does this election look to you, and what difference do you think it'll make for the financial struggles in Woonsocket if Lisa Baldelli Hunt is that city's next mayor?
Clearly, she has really beaten Fontaine, and I don't see that he would come back in the general. I'll go ahead and say that. It must be hard for him with a 23% tax increase this year to really run a campaign that's focused on anything but that. She made a good point during the campaign. The city hasn't focused on economic development, but almost how could they when they're looking at shutting their doors and shutting down schools? They couldn't attract businesses. It was all about the money, and she's got to put that behind them and figure out a way to move forward.
Maureen, same question to you. How do you think Lisa Baldelli Hunt would do as mayor of Woonsocket?
Well, one of the things she's going to have to do is she's going to have to deal with the fact that they're in this receivership. So the mayor is not going to have a lot of influence in the very early stages of this. I think it's probably time for a change, given that what happened with Fontaine being there at the wrong time in the wrong place. They're probably wanting to move on. But the more immediate thing is, how is she going to interact and what kind of traction is she going to be able to get when essentially the state is running the city? And let's hope that that can reach a resolution and they can go back to normal situations.
Scott, if you were a philosopher king, what are some of the things you would do to help reinvigorate a struggling economy such as the one in Woonsocket?
Well, they've got some assets. First of all, CVS has their national, international headquarters there. I think you can work with some of the employers. I also think that all of these struggling cities really need to go to the State House and get some of the state general revenue aid restored.
State Treasurer Gina Raimondo has an 8-point lead over Providence Mayor Angel Taveras in a new Brown University poll. That poll had a margin of error of about 5 percentage points. Nonetheless, the result is quite different from an internal poll released by Taveras' campaign recently, which showed him with a 19-point lead. How do you explain the difference, Maureen?
Well, for one thing, we didn't see the whole poll. This was an internal poll, and unless you see the whole poll, you don't know what's going on. There may be, I don't question the math. I don't question the calculation, but I do question the way the questions are worded and the way they're ordered. And so you can prompt very, very different results given an internal poll like that. I mean, we know that it's going to be a competitive race. His negatives are lower than hers. She's slightly ahead now. There's a long way to go.
What do you say about this, Kara, and the different results from these two different polls?
Well, I agree with Maureen. We're comparing an apple to a few bits of an orange here. And I think the other thing is the sample probably was very different, just depending on whether you oversample Providence, you oversample a certain group within the Democratic Party. I think what's clear from at least the Brown poll is that the treasurer's ahead with traditional Democratic voters at this point. But, you know, the only poll that matters is the one that's taken on Election Day. It's a cliche, but it's a true one.
We'll get you in here, Scott, and let's get your thoughts also on a new emerging candidate called Undecided, who is very popular.
Seems that every Brown poll going back years and years is big on Undecided. Look, it's a year out. These polls at this point measure only name recognition and job approval. The rest of these matchups really are not that relevant. First of all, it's really hard to screen for a likely Democratic primary voter a year away. It's just very difficult. So I don't put a lot of stock in these polls. I think, although Guerin is Taveras' pollster, certainly has a much better reputation than Marion Orr at Brown. He's a national pollster, well known. That said, I think the bigger problem for Taveras is the fact that General Treasurer Raimondo has outraised him by over $1 million. And I think that's going to be a bigger problem for him than anything the polls say.
And she can use that money to broaden the base in terms of the Democratic primary.
Precisely.
And also to try and lower his approval rating, currently the best in the state, and about 10 points higher than Raimondo's. We're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us on Political Roundtable, Scott.
Thank you.
Maureen.
Thank you.
And political consultant Kara Cromwell.
Thanks so much.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by the Robertson Foundation, continuing the commitment of its founder, Stephen Hamblett, to honest government in Rhode Island through in-depth political coverage. And if you enjoy the conversation, please visit our On Politics blog at ripr.org. Go Red Sox.